Hey, Mimi.
Okay. Hey, Gigi.
When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up a glass, pick out a gloss. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get queerified.
Hey, Mimi.
Hi, Gigi.
Are you ready to get queerified?
Yes.
This episode is so special. I'm so excited to dive in. I, of course, am your host, Gigi Gorgeous. I'm a YouTuber, a model, an actress, and an author, a philanthropist.
Former Miss Canada, former Miss Universe, former Miss International, and first runner-up of Miss Philippines.
You better work to all of that. And that was my best friend, Mimi, my longest friend ever. So on Queerified, you'll hear from special guests in the LGBTQIA plus community and, of course, some allies, too.
And we share everything, like what it was like growing up queer, the successes and lessons of life, and how to celebrate queer joy every day.
So today you'll hear from a very special guest, and I'm going to give it away to Mimi.
She is Cataluna Enriquez, our Miss Nevada. She will be going off to compete in Miss USA this November as the first trans contestant ever. We are so excited to talk to her, Miss Cataluna Enriquez. And we are here with our special guest, Cataluna Enriquez. I am so excited for this day.
How are you feeling? I know our audience can't see you, but you look stunning, I'm sure, as always. How are you feeling today? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Because I know I am.
Why are you nervous? I am feeling great. I'm excited. I'm happy to be talking to you.
Amazing. Okay, so let's just dive in. So I really, really want to know. So a couple weeks ago, you made viral news and It was so exciting because you won the crown of Miss Nevada. Mm-hmm. And how does it feel being, you know, the first trans Miss USA contestant?
It feels amazing. But to be honest, I know the feeling of winning, but I don't know what it feels like to actually be the first trans woman to be on the Miss USA stage. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know what it feels like to make history.
But you will this November when you hit that stage.
Oh, you know she will.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm obsessed. We watched a clip of Mark. When was that? It was Miss USA literally saying we should incorporate more trans contestants.
That was Miss Universe, and that was literally yesterday.
Oh.
Andrea Metza, I think is her name. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I know her name, obviously. But she was just saying, I think the question that she was asked was probably something crazy, like, what do you think about transgender people being in Miss Universe? Like, and she talked about how the transgender women are accepted in the Miss Universe pageant. And she also brought you up.
Yes, how she did.
How does that feel hearing our current reigning Miss Universe bring you up?
It feels amazing. I was speechless. I was tagging my director. I was like, look, she mentioned us. But I wish she said my name, but I'm not going to be all bitter about it. But she did mention us. So I'm happy. I'm thankful.
That's so exciting. I feel like in pageants and in the world, if people are discriminatory against trans people, it's because they're intimidated, right? Like, I know, and I think that trans people are the most beautiful people on earth. And a lot of the times I feel more woman than a lot of women in the room because I chose to be a woman. I put the effort in. And a lot of the times these girls were just born that way. And I think that that's just facts. So I think that you have made your place. You've obviously made history and we're really excited to see you in November, is it?
Yes, November.
So excited. So how did you get started in pageants?
I actually started competing in trans pageants. There was one called Queen Universe in Los Angeles. And then I didn't do that well, but I kept going. I competed in other countries, Miss Trans Star, and then ended up going back to Los Angeles and competing, and then won Queen USA. And then eventually went through Miss International Queen, which is the biggest for the trans community. And then Super Serena into the Philippines. And I was a representative of USA. And then from then on, I was just like, I feel like this is not enough. This is not me. Every time I compete in the trans competition, it's not that I don't feel like I'm trans. It's just, it doesn't feel connected. Like, I feel like there's not, my life isn't represented. And so I started entering cisgender pageants or the Miss USA system. And this is when I really was able to really use my voice and used everything that I know and my experiences in life. And this is why I'm thankful too, because I finally was given that chance to just speak up and use my platform compared to trans pageants.
Every pageant does have their, what I guess what you can say, what they're looking for and what they stand for. What do you think is the biggest differences between, let's say, Miss International Queen, which is, like you said, the biggest international transgender pageant, to the Miss USA system? And why did you choose the Miss USA system?
Well, the Miss USA system, one, it's the only one that I'm eligible to be in. So I had no choice, but I love it. I love it because the Miss USA system, or the Miss Universe, continues expanding and evolving its definition of what it means to be a woman and what it means to be beautiful. And then with Miss International Queen, I think it's just always just celebrating being trans or being beautiful trans woman. When for me, it's like we're beyond that. We're beyond just a body. We're beyond just beauty. And that's what I think Miss USA is celebrating.
Did you receive any backlash competing in Miss Nevada? I always think that, like, it's so catty in these, you know, I have this reference, to Miss Congeniality, you know, putting like shattered glass in people's like setting powder and breaking their heels. God. So they make a fool of themselves. I don't know if I'm glamorizing or villainizing contestants, but I just always see it like that. So was there any backlash?
Not in Miss Nevada. The contestant wise, no. Everyone was very supportive. Everyone was friendly. Everyone was loving. We were all celebrating like different kinds of beauty and what it means to be a woman. But I did compete in another state. I'm not going to mention this date, but they were very shady.
So what happened? What was the situation?
So I always out myself when I register and when I'm sending out my application. I tell them I'm a proud trans woman. It's written on my application. And when they said, oh, I'd like to accept you as the contestant for this year, but then we read your profile, we did a history or background check on you, we realized that you're trans. Now we need more documents from you. And I was like, that's fine. I'll give you all the documents I need. Here's my legal documents, my court order, my identification card, which is all female legally for a long time now. And they were like, no, we need a doctor's letter saying that you actually are a female.
Oh my God. Like, when was this? Like 10 years ago?
This was probably 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
And 2 years ago, Miss Spain had already sent a transgender contestant to Miss Universe. So that's kind of crazy.
Wow.
That they would be asking those weird questions. You think they would, like, the IMG organization who runs Miss Universe would send them, like, well, I'm sure they send them instructions and guidelines.
Yeah, this was like a state, though. So this was a state level. So I'm not sure if they were aware. I mean, the policy was changed since 2012 when Miss Canada and Jenna Telekova changed the rule and made history.
Well, I can only imagine what state it is, but I have a few in mind. And I'm so sorry that happened. I can relate with that a lot because when I was initially transitioning and I wanted to change my identification from male to female, I got hit with the same stuff. And I'm from Canada, born and raised. So it wasn't like, oh, are you presenting female? Have you done so for so many years? Are you on hormones? It was like, let's see that you've gotten a psychiatric evaluation, a therapist letter, a SRS, like make sure that the doctor signed off so you have your vagina and all that stuff. And I could never wrap my head around it. Whereas now, the systems have changed. That's why I asked you if it was 10 years ago, because it's been a long time in Canada since you've been able to just sign a paper and be like, I identify as female. Because not like boys aren't running around doing that for fun. You know what I mean? If you're filing that kind of paperwork, you mean it.
Yeah. And it's a life-changing decision.
Exactly.
You know, there's so many, I think what people don't realize, we as trans people know beforehand that it's going to be tough, and we know the backlash that we're going to receive and how much it's going to change our life, how much discrimination we're going to get. We already know that before transitioning because we experienced that growing up. And then people think that, oh, it's not a choice. It's like, no, we chose to do this because it's important for us and because it's our truth, regardless if we're going to be discriminated or whatever, but that's the reality of what we experience.
Absolutely. Everyone has a different path, but it is, like you said, always going to be difficult, just like any kind of transitional phase. And I applaud you for that. I mean, you are definitely going to be saving tons of lives, which is one of the many reasons we respect you, and admire you. And I just love how loud and proud you live. And I totally admire that.
Thank you so much.
Have you received those messages yet? I know it's only been, I guess, a few weeks now since you were crowned. But have you already started receiving those messages?
Of people being
inspired by you. Like, oh my gosh, you saved my life. How does that feel? Because when I saw Gigi first get those messages, like when we were, I don't know, like 16 or something crazy, it like blew me away. Like it was such a shock to see that coming in. How does that make you feel being now a role model for so many people?
Well, it feels amazing. I don't want to say I'm a role model because I honestly just try to be me and just try to live my life as much as possible and do the right things that I believe is right. But it feels amazing. I'm very thankful. It definitely gives me a push to do better and to represent us more.
I always kind of shied away from that term as well, role model. Yeah. But now I lean into it because if anyone is going to, you know, call you that or refer to you like you are my role model or you're the one I look up to, that is such a gift. And like you said, you're just living your life. You're just doing you. But that's what makes people role models because everyone else is just trying to do them. Everyone else is just trying to live in their life. And if you can do that and be a role model, you better work it out, girl.
Yeah.
Realize that because you definitely are. Like you are going to be the reason that there are lives on this earth and people aren't taking them anymore.
It's such a huge responsibility, though. Like, how do you handle that?
I mean, personally, just like you said, I just live life because it is my life and I share what I want. I am my identity. I am loud and proud, just like you are. And it takes time. I mean, you tend to get more comfortable with time. And I think you will. And you're just already so beautiful, which a lot of people obviously in Miss USA admire. So you're already winning, girl.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Winning, all you need to do to win is just to be there. Like you being there on that stage is such a win, not just for you, but for us. It's a win for me as like a Filipino person, as a queer person. Seeing you up there is such a win for us and for so many other people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've heard that too, but girl, we need to win. We need to win.
Absolutely.
There's no other choice.
Let's talk about, speaking of winning, let's talk about Miss Nevada. I think I read somewhere that you designed and created your gown, the rainbow gown.
Yes. So all my garments and wardrobe during the competition is something I designed and made myself. It could be
That's
the same
crazy.
Way for Miss USA, but thank you. So I've been designing since at a young age, but I might be designing most of my wardrobe for Miss USA, but it's going to be a little bit of a time restriction. So we'll see. But I do have some people who's helping me. I want to use a lot of people of color and within our community, designer-wise, and help us. And I want to represent them as well on that stage. So.
Mm-hmm. Serious question. We just had Pride Month. And one of the hardest things to do in life is to make a rainbow fashionable.
It's tea. That is so
That's
tea.
True. It's so true.
How did you do that? I saw it. I was like, is this a rainbow dress? Like, this looks good.
It was a rainbow dress. Honestly, I was doing that for a shoot for Pride. Just, you know, it's honoring Pride for content stuff. And then I realized this is actually cute. And I actually couldn't work. And then I just kind of redid it a bit and edited more stones, added rhinestones and just called it a day. But actually that gown, I think I made 2 weeks before the actual competition. And I was literally sewing to the last minute until I can, until I had to wear it.
Oh my God, you better let these girls have it. Damn.
When did you start making gowns and wearing them in competition? Was it always that way?
Since I started competing. So I couldn't afford clothes and I couldn't afford gowns. I couldn't find something that fit my body too. Mm. So I just started making my own. It wasn't the best at first, but eventually I learned and I've grown. Then I turned it into a business.
If you want something done right, do it yourself.
Absolutely.
I love that. So what was your, we talked about the cattiness behind the scenes and my fantasy of Miss Congeniality with Sandra Bullock. But what was your first like early on, like whether it be your first win or your first success, what was your first moment that's like, this is my passion, this is what I want to do?
Oh, good question.
You're like, there are so many.
No, when I started competing, I think the trans pageants were not as big. And so at that time, it was kind of just like, okay, register and then find a country that you want. And for me, I never represented our country. And then one time I just posted on Facebook somewhere that I wish that one day I can represent our country. And then eventually it happened in Miss International Queen and Super Serena. And then from then on, I really just pushed forward and really claimed the title and starting representing us.
Wow. When was that? What year would you say?
I would say 2017.
Oh, 18? Wow.
So young.
Oh, not that long ago. Oh my goodness. That has been a fast trajectory for you.
Yeah.
Congrats again.
Thank
honestly.
You. Thank you.
Major.
You talked about all the work you've put in to winning these titles. You know, I don't think our audience even knows what beauty pageants are. You know, there's a lot of misconception about what they are. People believe that they're archaic and misogynistic. What would you say to those people?
At first, when I started watching pageantry, I used to be one of the people who just thought that it was just objectifying women. But I've learned to look at beyond that. There was this one contestant from the Philippines, Miss Philippines Universe, and she was training in rice fields, and there was a time that she didn't have food and her family was just starving. And that story resonated with me, and I've learned to look beyond just a pretty face and learn that a woman can be beautiful and still be successful and can still thrive and still be a leader in our country or in society. And that really inspired me. And I really love the message of Miss Universe and Miss USA because it's showing what it means to be a woman and how you can still be beautiful and still be a leader, an activist, influencer, and many, many things, and still be the person that you want to be and be you.
I agree. They are showcasing so many different kinds of women now, especially in the latest years. I love Miss Universe. I'm a big pageant person. I mean, we watched the latest Miss Universe. It was amazing. I just want to say to everybody listening, from the very beginning, I knew Miss Mexico was going to win. So we're
it's
not going to go there.
He really did. We were watching it together and the crowd just went wild. And I was like, wow, she's gorgeous. But I'm the kind of person that whenever I see a beauty, I'm like, she's winning. And then three later, I'm like, oh, she's going to win for sure. He said Mexico and it happened.
Mm-hmm. I had my score sheet and I knew that she was coming in hot and she was going to win.
Well, hopefully you can say the same way for Miss USA.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Watching everyone, our audience will be watching. I have one question though. Speaking on that time mark, you just brought up something that we've talked about actually in previous episodes. How do you feel about walking and steps? So we said when you look down, when you're walking past a step, you're just immediately walking down a step. Stairs, yes. When you're walking downstairs and your eyes look down, it's points deducted. How do you feel?
I try not to look down, but then I also don't want to be the girl who's end up in a meme and like a trending video that she just fell and rolled over and act like she just died. But there's a trick to it. Just walk sideways.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that's a face crack.
Go straight down. Go like 160, 180. I can't do math.
Right.
Sideways.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that's I love that.
I'm thinking back to like Miss Grand International Samantha Bernardo, her walking down those stairs. I think she did go down sideways. Oh my God, that's so funny.
I'm obsessed. Wow. Wow. We just debunked that away.
Myth debunked.
Wow, I'm glad I asked.
So next time you go down a stair, just always walk sideways.
It is really so hard. I try like on like the runway or whenever there's steps or anything like that, I try to make it look like it's a little blink, but it's a look down. It's a look down.
You like you're showing
fall.
Your makeup.
That would just, yeah, exactly. Like look at the eyeshadow, look at the glitter. But
another thing we've talked a lot about in this podcast is how transgender people have been in the spotlight lately. It's kind of been a little bit normalized now. What was your coming out journey like?
I never really came out to my family. No, I was just like, it was a slow transition for me. I started transitioning in high school socially. So freshman year, I was more androgynous, and then sophomore year, a little more androgynous. And then by senior year, I was very feminine already. And so it was tough, though. I had to argue many times with my dad. There was one point that I was just very suicidal because I was just not getting any support and no love from anyone around me. And I was being bullied in school, but I still didn't care. And I still, being me was making me really happy. And I wanted to just continue being happy. But yeah, I remember just there was times where I would go to school early in the morning, change clothes, and then go home and then change back to, before I would go home, I'd change back to like baggy sweats and just a hoodie.
Oh my God, I love that. I feel like that is like such a testament to being your true self, even though everyone's giving you such a hard time. And I know that high school is so hard and kids can be so cruel, but if you make it cool and you like, you know, get into it or get lost, even if your parents aren't into it, you just change clothes. Like you said, I've done the same thing many times in high school. People will come around and it's just about sticking with it. And I feel like then people see that it's not a phase or anything like that. You just truly, you mean it. And people see you for what you really are.
Yeah.
You're so strong. I'm sure you've heard this so many times. And I hope that, you know, you're on the other side of that darkness. And just to get on the other side of that darkness gives you so much strength that you take with you. And that's amazing. And I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. Is your family supportive now?
Very supportive. Very, very supportive. They're very supportive. And I have a lot of people who's just very supportive now in my circle. I think that's part of growing up, just knowing and kind of changing who should be in part of your life and just changing your circle, if that makes sense. I think it's a very positive thing.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. I think just like, there's like a saying, I'm totally going to mess it up, but it's like, revenge is the best success kind of thing.
I don't know if that's where she was going, but
is that
yeah.
It? No,
I wasn't going that way. But
no,
I have a point.
I have a point. No, I feel like truly like the people that like doubt you, whether it be your friends, your peers, or even your family that love you, it's like, you can say like, I'm trans, I'm gay, I want to go down this career path. But it's like, if they doubt you, success is the best revenge to prove them wrong. You know, I'm not saying it in a negative way. It's just like, I've seen it tons of times with my friends. It's like my trans friends, especially. It's like their family isn't the most supportive. But once they see that they're okay in the world, they can handle themselves, they're getting some kind of success, they're happy, and they're, you know, falling in love and all the great things that life has to offer. It's like, oh, it's not that scary. It's not that bad. Mm-hmm. So it just takes time, you know, like even if it can even be a little success, you know, you getting the job, you being in a workplace, you being called the right pronouns, they see that it's not that scary. So to everyone out there going through a hard time, just literally stick with it and, you know, prove everyone that's not in your corner wrong, because you can.
Absolutely. I agree to that 100%.
What advice would you give yourself growing up?
To just love myself. Love everything about you, your flaws or your imperfections, your slower days or long days. Every single moment of your life is meant to help you become a stronger person. So for me, being a victim of or a survivor of physical and sexual abuse, and then being a trans woman and woman of color, and everything that I've experienced in life has ultimately brought me here, talking to you and representing our country and our, not country, but maybe country one day, but Miss Nevada and Miss USA. So just representing our community.
I love that. I love that. Okay. So Nevada, I was just there this past weekend, and just to take a turn, what is your biggest beauty tip to surviving the heat? Because when I was there, it was 115.
You don't go outside. You, as soon as you step out, you go inside somewhere, go to a casino and just chill.
Right. Follow the AC. Amazing. Yes. That's my beauty tip as well. I just wanted to make sure you're not doing anything I'm not doing.
No. That's it. You just find the AC, find the air. Be an airbender.
And if there's no AC, leave.
Yes.
As a beauty queen, you live in a world that's based on, you know, major ideals of beauty. How do you deal with dysphoria if you still do?
It's a great question. You know, I find something that I really love in me. And let's say for me, I love my lips, I love my eyes, and really focus on that, enhance that. And then just kind of reminding yourself that you are born different and there's no comparison. You can't compare a fish to a pig. Well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
You're born different for a reason. Embrace it. And especially not in the beauty industry, I feel like we are really, really embracing different kinds of beauty. Where before it was like masculine features were just kind of like, oh, no. But now it's like, no, we love this. This is Vogue. This is fashion. This is everything.
Totally. Yeah. Take power in your uniqueness. I think that is so important, because if you're looking at your nose or your shoulders or your feet or your hands, whatever us trans girls get, you know, triggered by stereotypically, it's like, well, that actually could make you really fierce. Like, honestly, you know, sometimes you got to take that power back from society and be like, I am gorgeous. Like, my hands might be traditionally larger, but it's like, you know, they're gorgeous hands. As silly as that may sound, dysphoria can be triggered from something so little, you know?
And the beauty standards is just changing regardless of where you go. And it's always changing in time. In other countries or the other side of the world, it's like tinier you are is more prettier within the Western culture, tanner, more voluptuous. So regardless of where you are, there's always beauty in you.
Absolutely. The best accessory is a smile.
Yes.
I mean, it's so true, though. I feel like just like clothes go in and out of fashion, so do features on the body, like this fat ass, fat butt culture and hip. It'll pass, you know, just like the thin eyebrows did. And I'm sure those will come back as well.
Cataluna, we thought it'd be fun to play a game with you. Let us know if you're down.
Let's do it.
So this game is we're going to be answering pageant questions. So, it's not serious. It's like, let's not get crazy. This is, you know, just our questions. Gigi has questions. I have questions. We didn't see each other's questions. So, you know, we can be surprised as well.
Does it have to be actual Q&A?
I mean, however you want to be.
Yeah. Like, so like, I feel like mine, I didn't go too savage. We both haven't seen each other's questions, but these are just genuinely things I want to know from you. But let's do it in like a pageant format. I feel like that would be very fun.
Okay. So wait, let's make this more fun. Cataluna can be Miss USA. Gigi will be Miss Canada, and I'll be Miss Philippines.
Yes, I love it.
Okay. So I'm going to go first. So we're going to be asking questions to each other.
Yes.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay, you go first. I'm so scared for your questions. Go ahead.
It's really not that bad. I'm scared for yours,
who's
Mark.
Who's answering first?
So we ask and we point it at both people.
Yes, we point it at both people. So me and Gigi, well, let's answer first. Me and Gigi will answer first, and then Miss USA, if you could please put your headphones on so you don't hear our answers.
Oh my God, I'm dying. She put headphones up, really. Okay. All right. So, Mark, you're Miss Philippines,
Miss
Mark?
Miss Philippines. Yes, Miss Philippines.
Miss Philippines, I have a question for you.
Oh my God.
Do they say that? Oh my God.
No, that was just me. They would never.
Oh, okay. Miss Philippines, what are three words that best describe you and why?
Three words that describe me would be passionate, loyal, and trustworthy.
Oh, you think?
you can't ask both questions.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Okay,
those
so
three
now.
Three words were so bad.
Now it's the why.
I think that those three words describe me. Wait, what words did I use?
Passionate, loyal.
I'm sorry, but your 30 seconds has run out.
Oh, your 30 seconds is up. Okay, Cataluna.
Oh my God. Okay, go.
Miss USA, what are three words that best describe you and why?
I am compassionate, I am fierce, and I am absolutely authentic. Everything about me, everything that you see, is all my experiences in life. And I show that because I am a proud trans woman of color, a woman who is a survivor, and a woman who rose from hardship.
Wow.
I think she was listening to my answer.
Miss USA. Can we get a round of applause for Miss USA?
You know, when we did Miss Nevada, they wanted us to, we all had the same questions and we all had to put on headphones. And in the back, they were like, okay, everyone rush backstage so we can put our headphones. I was really walking so slow so I can kind of hear the question.
Oh my God, I love
I didn't get to you. And I was kind of like, oh, I can't hear anything already. I was trying to hear anything, but no.
See,
really good at it.
That is some Miss Congeniality tea that I need. That is exactly what I'm talking about. The sneakiness of it all.
Okay, my question. Miss Canada.
Oh my God.
Your question is, What is the essence of being a woman?
First of all, I have to say thank you so much for that question.
Yes.
The essence of being a woman is the way you smell.
Wait, we're so bad.
Oh my God. I feel okay. Wait, can you
ask
me again?
There's so much pressure. See, everybody listening, now you know how hard it is. Let me ask it again.
Okay. I still don't know if I'm going to get it, but okay.
Miss Canada, what is the essence of being a woman?
Thank you so much for that question. The essence of being a woman is truly being authentic, being yourself, and being a courageous leader, because that's what this world needs. Thank you so much, XGG Gorgeous. Dismissing you.
Wait, that was almost good. You should add more detail.
I mean, essence.
Okay.
Hard work.
It's so hard. I'm so nervous right now, and we're on a podcast.
You know what? Cataluna goes next for my next one.
Wait, she has to answer my question.
Right.
Miss USA, your question is, what is the essence of being a woman?
The essence of a woman by history has always been to give life to another. Yet I believe that women are more than that. Women are capable of giving more than just another life. Women are leaders, compassionate people, givers, lovers, and activists. A woman is, for me, a superhero in today's society.
Oh, I could shed a tear. That was really good. Not bringing the history.
Girl, that's the truth, though.
Oh my God, it really is. That was a great little spin on the question.
Wow.
That was a good one.
Shove it in their throat.
Okay.
I need to ask you guys questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Your turn. Go.
Okay, I don't have any questions in my head, but who goes first?
Your choice.
Okay, Miss Philippines. Mm-hmm. If you can change one thing about yourself, what would it be and why?
I've asked this question to myself many times, and in different times of my life, I've had different answers. But as I stand here in front of you now,
this is good.
I would change nothing.
Oh my God. Shut up.
Loving yourself is a change I've had to make within myself. And now that I do, I feel I don't need any more changes. Thank you.
Oh, I really love that.
I could kill you. That was amazing, Mark.
We could workshop that. All right, Miss Canada. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be and why?
You know, I've had to ask myself this question over the years many times. And in my previous gender as male, in my different sexual orientations, it has changed over the years.
I'm going to kill you.
But one thing remains. I'm a work in progress, and I recognize that. And I think it's very important to look inward, not only in the mirror, but within your brain. Thank you.
I love that too. Okay. That was really good.
That was also good.
Okay. Well, I stole half of it from you because I couldn't. Oh my God. I thought she was going to ask me a different question. So I was like, don't even workshop your answer right now. You won't need it. Okay. One last one.
One last one from Gigi. Okay. And let's all answer it.
Okay. Miss USA, you've accomplished so much in your career already. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
In the next 10 years, I'd love to continue advocating for transgender and advocating for LGBT youth, providing resources and support for many of our communities, especially trans women of color or people of color and minorities. I see myself establishing my career in fashion, hopefully being Met Gala, laughing at people who bullied me at one day.
Oh, that is so cute.
You totally okay. will be also. Met Gala, yeah, they need you.
One day, someday.
You've answered every question perfectly, so I'm so excited to see you at Miss USA. Okay. Oh, wait, we have to answer the questions.
No, you do. I think we gave you too much time, so I'm going to give you my other one.
Okay.
Miss Philippines, is technology hurting or helping our communication skills, and why?
Thank you for your question. I think that technology is hurting our communication skills because as we spend more time on technology, we spend less time with each other. And to communicate properly and to practice our skills in this world, We need to be face to face. I don't know what to say.
I believe in world peace.
And I believe in world peace and education. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Wait, so let me
So let me get this straight. You went home, took a shower, but you got a perm. Oh my God, that was so much fun. My face is so red from laughing.
Oh, okay.
That was everything.
Cataluna, will you stay with us and answer questions from our listeners?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And we'll be right back with Cataluna Enriquez, Miss Nevada, to answer your queries.
Okay, and we are back with our queen, Cataluna. We are going to answer your questions, which you guys have left on our hotline, which you can call at 1-844-QUEERIES, which is 1-844-QUEERYS. Let's get into it. Are you ready, Cataluna?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear our first query.
Hi, I'm Kayla from Florida, and I wanted to ask Gigi, what was your parents' initial response to you coming out? And did you come out as gay before you came out as trans? Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Yes, I came out as gay before I was trans, which I think is pretty much the norm from when I came out, the timeline. When I was 15, I came out. And when I was 19, I came out as trans. And unfortunately, I couldn't tell my mother because she was taken from us way too soon. So I told my dad, I told my friends and my family. And the response was, I'm going to say 90% accepting. I was already very out there, very flamboyant with my makeup, my personality. The way I lived my life was pretty much as female. So a lot of the time people were like, do you want to be a girl before? And I would say, no, this is just me. I'm just going to be fabulous. And then it clicked for me when I met my first trans girl and I was like, I can do this. This is like this is my destiny. This is my calling. And everything changed that night. And actually that girl was Amanda Lepore, who was a legend. And yeah, I just thought, you know what, I'm going to tell people. And they were like, wait, so you've been lying all this time? Not the case. So yeah, it was pretty good. I just stuck with it. Like we've talked about on this podcast, you really just have to let people know this is not a phase. This is who I am. And you will respect me. So yeah, thank you for your question.
Kat, was it, I think we talked about it a little bit. But were your parents super supportive at first?
They were not supportive. My dad, especially. I had to argue my way with my dad, but now he's very supportive. I think with transitioning, you need to transition yourself, but you also need to allow people to transition as well in that journey of acceptance and educating themselves too.
Absolutely. It's not just a transition for you. It's a transition for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree.
Okay. Thank you, Kayla, for your question. Our next question.
Hey Gigi, hey Mimi, this is Anthony from Cancun, Mexico. So this question is for Gigi. You know, nowadays everybody gets canceled over everything. So did you ever felt like you were going to get canceled over something that you did or say? That's my question. Love you guys. Bye.
Oh, love you, Anthony. Thank you for that question. Definitely. I've actually been canceled, quote unquote, several times. Yeah, I feel like now living in this society, it's so hard to do or say anything with just freely because you're always thinking, what is everyone else going to think? Everyone is hyper aware. Everyone is hypersensitive. But just as long as you know, honestly, that you're a good person, and if you can learn from those mistakes that people call you out on, maybe you didn't know, maybe you didn't mean it in a hurtful way like people perceive, because a lot of the times it's just a headline or it's just, you know, just a sentence. There's no context or weight to it. So if you can really just learn from it, apologize and move on, show you're a great person, I think that just shows growth and respect. How about you guys? What about the cancellation culture?
I mean, I hate cancel culture. I think that, and this is a hard line. This is me. I'm not speaking for anybody else. Personally, I just think it's crazy to hold someone accountable for something that has nothing to do with you. I think it's crazy and egotistical. I understand that people need to be held accountable, but it's not your job or my job, especially if the cancellation or the drama is between different parties. That's just my tea on it. Like, it's so egotistical. It has nothing to do with you. Let that person apologize to this person. And if you really want to cancel somebody, ignore them. Like, don't give them any air. Take them out of your life. Ignore them. Don't think about them. you know, don't try to deplatform somebody and ruin their livelihood. Just move on with your life and stay in your positive light. Cataluna, what do you think?
I agree. I don't believe in cancel culture. I think people do make mistakes, but mistakes are also important for people to learn. And with cancel culture, I don't think that we're allowing people to learn or allowing them to kind of understand what they're doing. I think there's a good way for us to just kind of present that this is an issue and have them learn, but I don't believe in cancel culture.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I not cancel culture necessarily, but there are things that I feel are extremely hard to come back from. We all know what those things are. I don't need to list them, but I don't think it's a reason to be canceled. I think it's a reason for the person to take serious action on themselves. You know, you have to have therapy. There are so many other options, but I don't believe in this person is canceled. Let's hate them. Let's add fuel to the fire. I think it's like, let that person handle that, if that makes any sense. But yeah.
I also think it's just cruel and unjust punishment, which even like in the court of law is a law. Like you can't send someone to death for doing something so little. You know, maybe someone says something homophobic. Does that mean they deserve to have their lives completely ruined? Or do they need to be ignored and just like, you go over there, you weirdo freak. Like, I'm going to go stay over here. Right?
Definitely. Yeah. 100%.
Anyways, I digress. our last question, and thank you, Cataluna, for staying with us for this time.
Of course.
Here we go.
Hi, Gigi. Hi, Mimi. Gigi, I followed you on Instagram and YouTube for quite a few years now. My name is Luke, and I'm from Pensacola, Florida, but I now live in Austin, Texas. And I'm wondering, whenever you were, I guess before you came out as trans, when you were living in Toronto, where did you get like your confidence to cross-dress and present more feminine? And then whenever you did transition, where did you get your confidence to go out, you know, as a woman in public? Like, where did that confidence come from? And did you have any fears or anxieties about any of that, and how were you able to overcome that and just be able to go out in public looking like who you wanted to be and who you are now? And what advice would you have for others struggling with that?
Okay, so I think the question was, thank you for your question, but the question was, how did you find confidence to start wearing female clothing and present as female? Because we did that very young, Gigi. And I'll answer this first, actually.
Go for it.
When we were very young, we started to present, I guess, as female, I don't know, in high school. And thinking back now, I probably had more confidence back than I do now. It never crossed my mind. It was never an issue for me to dress as female or even be gendered as female. I mean, I even remember us going out to the clubs and we would go to the girls' bathroom because that's where we would go.
Yes.
Like with our girls, you know, and that was not an issue for us. That was not an issue with our girls. So for me, I never thought about it. I probably would think about it twice now, you know?
Yeah.
How did you feel? How did you find that confidence?
You know, I feel like I just never saw an issue with it. Like you said, I really just genuinely thought, these are the clothes I want to wear. This is what's making me feel good. So this is just what it is. And I never claimed to be anything that I wasn't. I was very open. I was very honest. But going out in not those clothes and not wearing makeup would have been far more uncomfortable for me. So I think you just have to reach that point. And I think a lot of the confidence I got is genetic. I know that sounds weird, but from my mom. She was always very outgoing, very outspoken and fun and the life of the party. And I just felt like that's just always how I've been. So maybe it's from her. But another aspect is, I think that you need some cheerleaders in your corner. You know, you need to have people who fight for you. You need to have people that see you for who you are. If you are misgendered, if you are made fun of or bullied, people to have your back, not necessarily all the time, but it's nice to have that best friend or girlfriend, whatever, to go home to and vent, or in the moment, stick up for you. And I think that that is really important. And I think that because Mark and I had each other, ultimately, we were able to live so loud and proud because we were like, well, there's someone else doing it. You know, if you take That's on one true. Of us, you have to take on both of us.
Yeah.
How about you, Cataluna?
I think with confidence, I myself struggled with it, but I think learning to know who you are and celebrate everything about you And then learning also to kind of change perspective. So if someone calls you skinny, I'm not skinny, I am slim. If someone calls you fat, I'm not fat, I am full and voluptuous and beautiful. So just kind of learning to have your own perspective on things and really knowing who you are, I think helps your confidence.
I love that. A perspective is key for sure. And a lot of the time, if people are bullying you, as we know, they're quite miserable people. And, you know, they just have their misery loves company. So they want you to be miserable just like them, especially if you're living out loud and proud and different. People are like, that's not okay, because that's my insecurity. Like in high school, I know a lot of the time it's like we used to be called names, but it usually was from people who had, you know, sexual preferences, which were not out, and they were taking it out on us. And usually that's how it is. Why are you going to make fun of me because I'm gay or trans? Do you have some kind of tendency going on that you need to develop? Maybe.
Yeah, like, why am I in your mind?
Exactly. Living
rent
free.
Why am I a threat? Anyways, Kat Luna Enriquez, Miss Nevada, thank you so much for joining us on Queerified.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor to be talking to you both. I enjoyed this. I love this so much.
This was so much fun. And I know our audience is going to love and thrive. Let people know where they can find you, and what projects you're working on right now.
Yes, so I'm working with multiple nonprofit organizations throughout the state. I'm hoping to connect with Oklahoma, since Miss USA is going to be in Oklahoma this November. But you can find me on my Instagram, MSKATALUNA. That's Miss Cataluna. And you can always just message me if you need to talk or ask questions.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Well, that's how I reached out to you. So it works, people. Slide in her DMs. Thank you so much for coming on. We love you. Huge fans, and looking forward to seeing the rest of your career progress.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to yours as well.
Oh, thank you so much. See you online, and hopefully one day in person.
Yes, yes, yes. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to our special guest, Kat Luna Enriquez, and thank you so much for listening. You can follow Gigi at Gigi Gorgeous and me at Mark Maverick.
As always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Love you guys so much. And you've just been Queerified.
Bye.